broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, for the 2017 ATD International Conference and Exposition. It's time for Learning Insights, brought to you by Training Pros.
All right, Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you from the conference show floor, would you call this? Expo floor?
Expo floor. Expo.
Yeah, for ATD 2017, doing Learning Insights. Our good friends at Training Pros bring this to you. We have caught up with a lot of old friends, made some new ones, learning a lot. This has been a blast. Lee, this segment is going to be no exception. Please join me in welcoming to the show with a little company some of you may have come across called Starbucks. Miss Molly Hill, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Molly, you're speaking here?
I am speaking here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
What's the topic?
We're going to be talking a little bit about agile development in content development. So we're actually using agile as a project methodology within our content development team.
So agile like the computer nerds
use.
No pejorative.
I mean that in a respectful way.
I'm a bit familiar as I did spend a little bit of time at another small company called Microsoft within the same area in the Northwest.
It's all making sense.
Yeah, so kind of grabbed a little bit of what I knew from those computer nerds and applied it to learning.
So there is a way to apply it.
There's an absolute way to apply it.
You want to give us a sneak peek of that talk? Of the top line?
Sure. You know, I would tell you really what came about is I came into Starbucks and started going around to some of the stores during the interview process and thinking through what the role might be within global learning. And there was still paper in the stores, literally.
There was paper
in the stores, and a lot of it. Binders and binders of training material on the shelves.
And in some computer company, that's like a firing offense, right?
It was a little shocking to the system, but also huge opportunity. I was thinking, man, this is going to be pretty easy. But really what it came to is that not only was there paper, but the remit was to come in and within the first year turn all of those training programs, most of our core programs, into something digital.
Wow.
And I knew that that wasn't going to be able to happen necessarily with the way that they had been developing content development in the past. So we took a little process called Agile and we adopted it to instructional design, and that's what we're going to be chatting about tomorrow.
And so your work at Starbucks now that you're in there, how long have you been there now?
I've been there for a little over 2 years.
Okay, 2 years. So now the paper's gone, right?
The paper is gone. The paper is gone. Yeah, the paper's gone. We're just starting to get into mobile a little bit as well. And it's been an exciting 2 years.
So now what trends are you most excited about?
You know, right now I'm actually most excited about mobile and really in the area of reinforcement of learning. We have a lot of opportunity as far as we're doing a great job now with our core learning. So you come in, you learn how to be a barista and they're loving that. They love the digital content. We're doing a lot of games, simulations, and that's all fun. But once you're done with those first few weeks, you're kind of on your own. And so the trends around mobile reinforcement for learning are extremely exciting to me.
Like, what's an example of reinforcement?
Sure. So we're actually looking at games themselves to be able to reinforce things that are semi-repetitive in nature. When you think about being a barista, just learning the cup codes and learning the sequencing to make a drink and learning recipes, those sorts of things are things that really just take ongoing practice again and again and again and again. And our ability to be able to take that, pop that on someone's phone is just incredible, tremendous.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the things that I enjoy, and I am a big Starbucks fan, all my entire family, we go all the time. And I love seeing a barista that is obviously, they're in their groove, they're in their zone, and it's like they have eight hands. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
To watch. So, and I know the training process and those repetitions gets them to that point, and I'm curious, because I'm sure sometimes you throw them a curveball and say, okay, now we're going to use, I don't know, strawberries instead of blueberries for this
always,
thing.
Always.
And then so, you know, when they used to turn left and do a little spin, now they got to turn right and do a jab. You have to address that in some fashion, right?
on an ongoing basis. And so that's been the other point, obviously, with digital materials, but also with this reinforcement, is that we can do that in a way that's quick and easy and fun, and they start getting used to. I would say the one thing that that's been huge success for us is actually having a combination between, or a partnership between operations and ourselves. And so all of those things, like throwing blueberries at a barista, which we wouldn't throw them at them, but those things tend to come from our operations team, from our innovation teams and testing and those sorts of things. And it really is important that we have an extremely tight partnership with them, so that none of those things come without.
Because otherwise, they do some research, and some marketing guy says, "Hey, oh, we got to go, you know, all in with blueberries," and you're like, "Blueberries is a horrible idea. We'll never get them to be able to, right?"
Going to mess everyone up.
Right.
You know, the one thing I would say that Starbucks does extremely well, and that helps us from a training team perspective, is having routines that are predictable. And so even if you throw blueberries in there, it's no different than the strawberries were. It just happens to be a different fruit. But really what it's happening is that the routine is exactly the same. So continuing to build on a routine that's memorable, and whatever flavor that might be, whatever, how many shots that might be, it all stays within the same routine. We try to keep it as consistent as possible.
Now, what about the training when it comes to community building and that kind of softer skills of making people feel comfortable at the Starbucks and that they're, you know, part of the family and this is their place? Because that was one of the differentiating points of Starbucks and where they really led, as creating this kind of alternative space for people to do work or to hang out or whatever.
Sure. I mean, it's the biggest part of it. And so the first thing I would say is obviously that piece of it is fully integrated into our core programs. There's no opportunity for that to feel disconnected. So we don't do, here's how the process works, and then here's all of the things about community, and here's all the things around culture. It is fully integrated. We use a lot of video, all of our video photography, anything having to do with that culture, it's actual partners. And so we have a lot of stars that get really excited about seeing themselves show up in the training. Because we're changing the training so often, they always ask, can you come to our store and do the next video? They know, and the store managers start to know who to reach out to within our team to be able to say, we want to be a part of it, we want to be in it. But I think that makes it, that's part of the authenticity of the culture of Starbucks.
And management talent, does a lot of the management, frontline supervisor management talent come through come from the mailroom would be my phrase, right? But you know what I mean. Come through the ranks as much or more so than going outside?
They do. So a large majority comes and moves their way through. I actually have, even within the training team, about 60% of my team came as baristas and moved their way through.
But there's that credibility piece, right?
Absolutely.
That's got to be a ton.
Absolutely. They have incredible connections. Our ability to be able to move people from barista all the way through to store manager and to district manager and so on is one of the reasons that people stay. I would also say it's one of the biggest challenges is that, you know, generally millennials aren't coming to Starbucks as their career. They're coming because it's a pit stop. I'm looking for another job, and so I'll get a job at Starbucks because it seems semi-reputable. It's got the culture that I'm looking for. It feels good when I tell people I work for Starbucks, but it's not someplace I'm going to stay for the rest of my career. So it's one of the biggest challenges that we have now is how quickly can we move them through? How can we get to that point where they feel like, oh, actually I can hang here for a long time and they want to know
what that path is, right?
They want to know what that path is. And I think one of the things that we're looking at right now is how can we shorten that path and how can we maybe skip over steps. Traditionally within a retail industry, you have to go from this role to this role to this role to this role to move your way up. And right now we're looking at, well, maybe that's not the case. We have such a focus right now on getting a college education, and we're paying for free tuition through our partnership with Arizona State University. This is an opportunity for us to say, well, maybe once you get that degree that you don't have to go through all those steps. Maybe you just move right into a store manager position. And because we value that internal talent so much, we don't have to make them go through the same rigmarole that others might.
Now, what about in the recruiting? Like, how do you choose the right people to begin with? Is there certain things that, you know, like some organizations seem to do a better job of getting that younger person engaged and choosing the right person instead of training the wrong, you know, taking exactly. the wrong person than having to train them. It's easier to pick the right person, right, that have the qualities you're looking for to begin with, and just making them more, you know, better at those elements.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the biggest thing I would say there is we have huge empowerment of our store managers. And so as long as we're, again, promoting from within, like we were just talking about, or also choosing the right store managers to come in, then we've got the right baristas as well. Our store managers make all of their own decisions around who comes into the stores. And I think there's a piece of it about choosing the right individual. There's also a probably bigger piece of it that we focus on with store managers around choosing the right team and choosing the right combination of partners within their team to make that Starbucks feel like a place that you want to come into.
Because in a given Starbucks, it's not like there's a lot of levels and people, right?
No.
There's only a handful of people, so there's only a handful of positions for these people to go to. So you have to give them that path, or else you're going to lose them. There's no future. They'll see that there's no future.
Right.
So you really have to make a concerted effort to give them some sort of path, right?
Definitely, and I think we also have an opportunity when it comes to moving people between stores. Sometimes people see their own store as kind of the opportunity just within the store, which is fairly limited, but wanting to make sure that they're viewing Starbucks as an organization, sharing talent across stores is even more important right now.
So now, how do you stay up to date on all the different things that are happening? Because you know, we come to this show almost every year, and it seems like, you know, something new is the hot thing, and all of a sudden you see 20 booths filled with that.
Right. I would say my team is probably the best at keeping me up to date. I have an incredible set of managers on my team, and then I also have new up-and-coming talent within the organization that is fresh and constantly willing to learn. I actually probably learn more from them going out and grabbing information and sending it up to me than I do from anyone else. They've been incredible as far as connections. But it is good to have a reminder to come to things like ATD on a fairly regular basis just to have a good reminder of what's out there.
Now, just like you were able to steal kind of from technology and brought it, the Agile, into the coffee world, are there any other, you know, kind of cutting edge things that are happening in other industries maybe that you're able to say, you know what, let's take some of what they're doing over here and then see if we can implement it where we are?
Technology is probably the biggest one that we've looked at. Retail is a really, really interesting and tough industry because of, especially within the U.S., because of time work, time paid, or hourly population. So it's extremely challenging. And sometimes those things that we see in other industries seem leading edge and cool. They just can't automatically be
implemented
within retail.
But they're not transferable.
They're not transferable. And you start to get into really logistical issues around time work, time paid that are difficult. And
so
we're looking at just approaching it in a completely different way, and a lot of that is just really, really deep partnerships with HR and legal to try to understand, okay, what does that look like? How can we think about this a little bit differently rather than every single 15-second increment that you think qualifies as learning? We have to figure out how to back pay for that. What if we do that proactively?
Right.
What if we start to just encourage learning in a way to say, this is your time to learn, we're moving forward, we're paying for that now, and we worry about it later.
All right, so you're going to do your talk, and so you're going to be speaking about Agile, and then for the balance of your time here, do you have another mission or something you're really focusing on, or is it just get my talk done and then just hang?
You know, the talk is the big thing, obviously, connecting with others within the industry. I would probably say that the other focus for me right now is connecting with vendors and partners that we're using in different capacities,
right,
and also just exploring. I never used to be a fan of walking through the expo, and I've kind of turned into one a little bit more now in my position and just really seeing what's out there. And I have to be completely honest, I haven't been to ATD for about 10 years, and for me to come back in and just see the it has just expanded beyond anything I could ever imagine, so it's pretty exciting. I'm probably going to be spending a lot of time down here.
All right. So best way for colleagues to connect with you, like LinkedIn, whatever
LinkedIn,
is appropriate.
Always.
Is that the right thing to
LinkedIn
do?
Is the right thing to do, I think, for anyone right now. And anyone can connect with me on LinkedIn. I stay fairly open to connections on LinkedIn, so I'd be happy to connect.
All right. Well, keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Stay agile.
Absolutely.
Don't let this conversation completely die either. Let's stay connected, because I just think there's so much to be learned. Starbucks is obviously doing so much so well. I think we could all learn from them. I'd like to dive into a conversation with you sometime when we're out in your neck of the woods, or you're back this way.
That sounds good.
Specifically around what retail can teach some of us in other arenas about how and why people take the actions they do. Neuroscience side of things, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love another conversation.
All right. We'll do it. Okay. We'll be back in a few from the trade show floor of ATD 2017.
This has been a Special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.